I think there's an important connection, you know, between truth and democracy. You can't really think of your country as a democracy if people don't know the truth. And what we are misinformed about is not just the present, but the past. And that is especially important, because if you're lied to about the past, you're not really in a position to judge what you are told about the present. Then, and anybody in authority can get up in front of the microphone and tell you that we must go to war for this reason or that reason. And if you don't know any history, if you don't know anything about our past, you have no basis for challenging what you are being told. So we call ourselves a democracy, and we like to think that it's very simple. There are the bad states and there are the good states, and we're the good state. And you know, that kind of sort of Manichaean a division of the world into democracies and not democracies is very, very dangerous, because then those countries which are designated as democracies think that they have a blank check to do whatever they want in the world and it'll be okay. But we're beginning to suspect, you know, that's not exactly okay. Things like the First Amendment may just as well not exist. And it's interesting, we all grow up sort of priding ourselves on the fact that we have a First Amendment. I mean, that's what our country is known for, freedom of speech and press and so on. But when wartime comes, you can't. You can't have freedom of speech. So the result is that the First Amendment is most operative in times of peace. It's not very operative, but it's most operative. In times of war, it is least operative. In other words, the First Amendment is least operative when it's most needed. Now, something interesting is happening in the country today, and that is more and more people becoming aware that we've been lied to. That's clear. I mean, more and more people aware of this. But they would have been aware at the beginning. That is 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, people at the beginning of the so-called war on terrorism, people would have been aware if they only knew some history. And if you knew some history, you would not be prone to the notion that the United States is somehow an exception in the world. This notion of American exceptionalism is something that is so strong in our culture, in our education, that it constitutes sort of a fundamental lie that protects the actions of any administration from close scrutiny. If the reason the United States was expansionist and aggressive and overthrowing governments and sending its Marines here and its armies there, if the reason was because of the threat of communism in the world, then what was the United States doing before 1917? Before there was a Soviet Union? That means before 1917, we were a peaceful nation, weren't going anywhere. Yeah. Then why were we taking over Cuba? And why were we taking over the Philippines? And why were we taking over Hawaii? And why were we sending Marines? And why were we creating the Republic of Panama and writing its constitution? Well, with communism gone, and since 9/11, we have a new possibility. 9/11 opens up possibilities. It's a terrible thing that happens, but from the administration's point of view, here's an opportunity. Something to replace communism, to scare the hell out of the country. Terrorism. Again, knowing history would make you suspicious that we are bombing Afghanistan because of terrorism. And it's true, you can, even without the history, it would take a little bit of common sense to ask a question. How will bombing Afghanistan do away with the rage of terrorists against the United States if there is a rage against the United States all through the Middle East and in many parts of the world? Become distorted and become even obliterated when the government is in control of the media and when the media, in its cowardly way, goes along with the government and agrees and approves of everything that the government does. And then whatever common sense people have is somehow pushed to the side and is taken over by this kind of hysteria about terrorism, and therefore, well, anything we do that the president says against terrorism, I guess, is the right thing to do. But I think what is happening now is that more and more people are thinking about that, and more and more people are thinking, well, are we safer now as a result of two wars? Are we safer now that we've killed more people in Afghanistan than died in the Twin Towers? Are we safer now that we have driven hundreds of thousands of people in Afghanistan out of their homes as a result of our bombing? And that the Taliban, which we paraded as, the reason we got rid of the Taliban, is still around in Afghanistan and controls a good part of the country. It seems we are creating more terrorists by what we're doing. You know, the idea of a war on terrorism is, of course, self-contradictory. I mean, aside from the fact that a war on terrorism breeds more terrorists, war itself is terrorism. I mean, that's what war is. War, I mean, what is, you know, when you start a massive air attack on the cities of a country, and you say we're engaging in a campaign of shock and awe, that you're describing terrorism. There's an Italian surgeon named Gino Strada. I don't know if any of you have heard of him. He's very famous in Italy. He's a man who, for the last 10 or 15 years, has been going around to all the war-torn areas of the world, operating on victims of war. And so he not only is trying to expand his program and get more and more medical centers and emergency centers, but no, he wants to start a campaign not against this war or that war, but against war, you see, which sounds, you know, you know, it sounds utopian, but the abolition of slavery in the 1830s sounded utopian. Unless you start to think in a utopian way, unless you set goals which seem unreachable, you will never reach them at any point, you see. Now, as I said, there are a lot of good people around everywhere and here and all over the country. And so long as everybody does a little bit, you have to do something. Yeah, really, you have to do something. Even if it's a little bit. But when lots and lots of people do little bits of things, at certain points in history, they come together and something good happens. Thank you.